But Australia is here. We'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the government of PNG in health.
Sport is such a powerful tool at so many levels, but definitely at the community level.
Align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector.
Dispela Partnership, Emmy Strongim Sindown, Namel Australia na PNG.
The impacts of climate change on different sectors of society are interrelated. Drought can harm food production and human health. Flooding can lead to disease spread and damages to ecosystems and infrastructure. Human health issues can increase mortality, impact food availability, and limit worker productivity. Climate change impacts are seen throughout every aspect of the world we live in. Hello and welcome to AHC On Air. I'm your host, Gregor Vira. On this month's program, we hear about the ongoing commitment by the Australian government to support PNG in addressing climate change challenges. Joining me now on the program are two of my colleagues from the Climate Change Program, which I will let them introduce themselves. Welcome, Harry and Ruben, to the program.
Good afternoon, listeners. I'm Harry Aurore. I'm with the Australian High Commission and I work as a program manager with the Climate Change program.
Good afternoon, my name's Ruben Seaton. I'm a second secretary at the Australian High Commission working on climate change issues.
Thank you both. We will start with you, Harry. Can you briefly tell us why it is important for both Australia and Papua New Guinea to work together to address climate change challenges?
This afternoon, we are happy to be on this radio show to share with you what Australia is doing in PNG on climate change to help the government of PNG achieve its climate change priorities. As you would know, the World Index on Climate Change shows that PNG is ranked 9th most vulnerable country in terms of the impacts of climate change. This vulnerability includes people displacement, erosion of coastlines, and increased frequency of changes in weather patterns, among others. So addressing climate change requires a mobilized effort. And Australia, understanding this challenge very well, is working with PNG to support the PNG government's climate change priorities.
Ruben, what are Australia's priorities when it comes to climate action in Papua New Guinea and the broader Pacific region?
As a member of the Pacific Islands Forum, Australia believes in Pacific sovereignty and solidarity, and we take seriously these relations and understand our duty to amplify the Pacific collective voice and to act. We are pledged to the Boyer Declaration and its expanded concept of security. There's no safety or security without the security of our environment, and the biggest threat faced by many Pacific countries is climate change. We know PNG is in a unique position in its response to climate change. PNG's environment and society shares many similarities with other Pacific neighbours, but it also possesses several differences. The size and structure of PNG's economy means it has a lot in common with countries like Australia, particularly in terms of the transition away from fossil fuels. As such, Australia is providing unique and tailored support to PNG. This means supporting PNG's transition to renewable energy, helping PNG build climate resilience, and sharing our innovations in climate adaptation. Australia is also helping PNG access more climate financing from the major multilateral funds by embedding climate finance experts in government in partnership with the Climate Finance Access Network. As Australia's climate change and energy minister said in November, Australia is of the strong opinion that funding arrangements must deliver for the most climate vulnerable countries, drawing from a broad donor base, including private and innovative sources of finance. Australia is now on track to deliver $3 billion towards the global climate finance goal by 2025. That's $1 billion more than our previous commitment. We want to ensure this support is dispersed effectively, reaching the people who need it most. That includes a focus on women, children and First Nations communities. You can hear our former High Commissioner speaking about this focus during an address to PNG's 2023 National Climate Change Summit.
Strongly in this area, we released last year a new international development policy. And in that, environment change is very strongly embedded. It's at the heart of how we want to talk about the new international development policy. It's something we talk a lot to Papua New Guinea about as the biggest development partner Australia has. And as we develop that new policy, we want to understand what PNG had to say and to think. And we're fortunate that MBTB4 was being prepared at the same time, so we could make sure that we really heard those very carefully. So our new development strategy brings climate change to the heart and gender equality and inclusivity as well. So the new gender and climate targets will ensure Australian development systems tackles climate effects and improves the lives of vulnerable girls. At least half of all new Australian projects will have a climate change objective from this year, and that will climb to 80% by 2028. 80% of investments will address gender equality effectively, and all new investments over $3 million will include gender equality objectives. So it sounds good. What does it mean? If we have a climate change objective in half of all our new projects for this year, what does that look like? Well, it looks like this. I think everybody's heard of the PNG Electrification Partnership. What we're doing together with PNG in electrification is really important to us, it's important to PNG. And into that, we have wanted to bring in new environmentally sustainable sources of power as part of how we think about it. So we have new projects to actually provide mini grids at a provincial level that are sustainably run, relying mostly on solar with only backup provided by diesel. In areas where it's appropriate, we will also look at other sources of energy that are sustainable, like hydroelectricity. But we're already progressed on this. Aitape, Finchhart and Arrow will have solar grids up and running by middle of next year. We will advance in Mapri, in Vanimo, in Kerama, in Buka, and of course in Darwin, the town closest to Australia. For us,
we just add an excerpt of the speech delivered by outgoing Australian High Commissioner, His Excellency John Philp, at this year's National Climate Change Summit in Port Moresby. We will now go for a short break. On the other side of the program, we will hear more about the climate change support Australia is providing to Papua New Guinea. Stay tuned.
NBC TV and radio, you get the best of both worlds. Advertising is not only made easier.
1+1, 2.
But affordable.
Thank you.
And with a reach like ours.
Oops. Sorry, excuse me.
It's a no-brainer. We're your one-stop shop in advertising. Whatever your target audience, we can tailor to suit your budget and help create a greater impact on your audience. Why go anywhere else? Call 325-1870. Your real PNG affordable advertising alternative.
Supporting women and girls to participate fully in political, economic and social life is important for both Australia and Papua New Guinea. Australia supports the government of Papua New Guinea to achieve and implement their plans that empower women and girls, such as the National Gender-Based Violence Strategy, the Sorcery National Action Plan and various other economic and health policies. Our priorities are increasing women's leadership and influence, increasing women's economic empowerment, and violence prevention and response.
This is an important public announcement. ASF has spread to other parts of the Highlands and will continue to kill our pigs if we do not act now. Help stop ASF by stop moving live pigs between provinces, stop carrying pig meat when you travel, and keep your pigs enclosed in fences or pens. Look out for your pigs being unwell and call Nakia on 1801332 or your local authorities to report sick or dead pigs.
Authorised by the National Agriculture Quarantine and Inspection Authority.
Welcome back to AHCNN. Before the break, we heard from Ruben Sitten and Ari Aurere, colleagues from the Australian High Commission's climate change team, who spoke about Australia's priorities in climate action in Papua New Guinea and the broader Pacific region. Australia has been a long-term partner with Papua New Guinea in addressing climate change challenges. Ari, can you outline some tangible examples of Australia's support so far?
Australia's climate change program for PNG covered a wide variety of activities in the last 18 months. It includes training in climate change capacity building, mainstreaming climate change into provincial government development plans, and supporting climate change resilience and disaster risk integration into transport infrastructure. In terms of training and capacity, Australia has been supporting PNG's climate change leadership by building climate change capacity to advocate and negotiate. Through the training and capacity building on climate action, this tailor-made program aims at increasing the skills and knowledge of climate change officers in the PNG government. GoPNG officers participated in training on writing climate finance proposals, integrating climate and disaster risk in project designs, and advocating for a sustainable approach to help lead that country in promoting climate resilience, low carbon growth, and sustainable development. These sessions were implemented by the Global Green Growth Institute. The program also facilitated a series of climate negotiator training sessions for government officials attending COP meetings. This included finalizing negotiating positions and preparing a working paper on implementing Paris Agreement commitment. At previous COPs, PNG government climate officials delivered a high-level side event on PNG's climate resilient green growth project results alongside Australia's Ambassador for Climate Change, Ms. Christine Tilley.
Another area of support to PNG is in mainstreaming climate change into provincial government development plans. Under our flagship climate change program in PNG, the Climate Resilient Green Growth Project, we aim to promote inclusive green growth by integrating climate resilience through the policies, plans, and budgets of the provinces in PNG. Implemented by the Global Green Growth Institute, the project has supported provincial governments in Enger, Milne Bay, and New Ireland to mainstream CRGG priorities into their provincial planning and mobilise climate finance for high-quality projects by developing provincial strategies and action plans that reflect their provincial-specific climate change priorities. This project also helped in the establishment of the Credit Guarantee Corporation, supporting small to medium enterprises access loans for green and climate-smart activities. Planning is underway for the next stage of Australia's climate finance support to PNG at the national and subnational level, which also aims to replicate the CRGG model in four other provinces.
So we have described our support at the national level and also programs at the provincial levels. We also know how important it is to support community-level initiatives. Localized projects deliver real benefits to rural communities, a critical part of PNG's population. One such project is the Climate Smart and Inclusive Cocoa Farming Project in Usino Medeng, covering 21 council wards in the Usino local level government area. Earlier this year, I traveled to Usino to observe the project's progress alongside Trisha Rieu from the Australian High Commission's health team. Trisha, can you tell us more about this project?
Yeah, thanks, Harry. Australia is supporting World Vision PNG to coordinate this project in partnership with Core Cooperative Society and Gigasa Cooperative Society. In all, the project serves over 2,600 farmers and benefits over 12,000 people. While it's an agriculture project, it has an integrated approach to climate change, health, family and livelihood. As a project with family orientation, it has an estimated 300 women-led farms and engages with people with disabilities. Apart from farming and climate change, the project aims to empower and transform livelihoods through financial inclusion, including increasing resilience through earnings and financial savings. In terms of health and well-being, the project anticipates positive impacts from increased income as people can use savings to access medical services and a more nutritious diet, including quality protein sources. The project participants in Usino told us that savings become the first resilience buffer for health, disaster, and climate variance impacts. During our visit, we could see the four outcomes of the project in full display. One, improved climate smart cocoa production for small farmers. Two, improved profit for farmers and their households through access to inclusive market value chains. Three, improved equitable access to finance for cocoa farmers and other market system actors. And four, strengthened gender equitable relations and social inclusion at the community and household levels. The project was initiated in 2021 and is expected to end in 2026. We look forward to watching the continued success of this community-led project into the future.
And that was Teresa Ryu from the Australian High Commission's Health Team speaking about the Climate Smart and Inclusive Cocoa Farming Project in Mereng Province, which is funded by the Australian government and implemented through World Vision PNG. We will now go for a short break. Coming up next, we will learn more about how development initiatives in the infrastructure, health and economic sectors are making positive contributions to climate action and community resilience. Stay tuned.
Papua New Guinea and Australia have a long and shared history of cooperation in education, and it remains a really critical and central part of our ongoing partnership. We work in partnership with the government of PNG to align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector. We really do work across a large part of the education system. We support children as they commence their education journey, right up to adult learners in technical and academic fields.
This pela and one pela big pela talk survey igolongol man meri. CKSF ikalap igolongol nara pela peles Long Highlands na emken kilimol peak bilong yumi suppose yumi no walking one pela something now. Nokin karim peak long one pela hap igolong nara pela. Nokin karim peak meet long walkabout bilong you na banisim all peak bilong you. Puti malong all peak na ringim nakia long 1801332 o talk survey long all walkman long place bilong you suppose peaky sick or in die.
Tokarai tikam na National Agriculture Quarantine and Inspection Authority.
In Papua New Guinea, we have the largest defence cooperation program that Australia runs anywhere in the world. We're working on their equipment and their logistics. We work with them on recruiting. We work with them on maritimes and with their air transport wing. It's a really important relationship because of the physical proximity, because of the cultural connections. It's the people that really make it so important.
Welcome back. You're listening to AHC On Air. If you have just joined us, this month's program focuses on the ongoing commitment by the Australian government to support Papua New Guinea in addressing climate change challenges. I still have with me on the program Ruben Sitten and Eri Arere, colleagues from the Australian High Commission's Climate Change Team. Australia has a large development program in Papua New Guinea. Eri, can you tell us how you ensure development initiatives in the infrastructure, health and economic sectors are making positive contributions to climate action and community resilience?
Integrating climate resilience into sector program is a key element in Australia's support for climate action internationally. For example, in PNG, Australia's Transport Sector Support Program, or TSSP, is working with national transport agencies to prioritize, design and deliver climate resilience roads, bridges and other transport infrastructures. Guided by a climate and disaster strategy, the multi-year and ongoing investment is factoring future climate risks into design and implementation of new infrastructure, while also supporting transport agencies in PNG to build their processes, systems and technical know-how when it comes to planning for and managing climate hazards. TSSP supported three regional workshops with the Department of Works and Highways implementing team to build awareness of climate change and environmental and social safeguards policies and operational manual. As a result of these workshops, participants were able to clarify and address climate-related hazards and vulnerabilities in their daily operations and prioritizes the need for vulnerabilities assessments. In coordination with TSSP, the Australian Infrastructure Financing Facility for the Pacific, or known as AIFFP, is working with the Pacific governments and the private sector to design quality and enable the delivery of climate resilient infrastructures in the Pacific through loan and grant financing. In PNG, AIFFP is supporting the integration of climate resilient designs for 6 ports, including Daru, Cavien, Kimbe, Loringau, Lae, and Oro Bay, and it is supporting Connect PNG to include considerations for climate resilient designs in sections of the Transnational Highway and Wau Highway. Another aspect of our support is in climate-proofing infrastructure to drive economic growth. As part of its support for accessible and resilient infrastructure, the Australian government recently partnered with the Asian Development Bank to finance an upgrade of Alata Wharf in Milne Bay province. Milne Bay is PNG's largest maritime province, and the wharf upgrade will improve safety and make it less vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. The new wharf is elevated to minimize wave and debris damage and includes piling able to withstand earthquakes. In the event of a disaster, this purpose-built wharf will also play a critical role for the people of the outer islands. The upgraded Alata Wharf will improve connections around the country, opening up access to markets and more remote communities and boosting employment opportunities. Australia contributed to this project as part of the Building Resilience to Climate Change in PNG project and will be used as a model of climate resilience project design for other infrastructure in PNG. In conclusion, decarbonizing our economy will not be without challenges, but Australia is absolutely committed to achieving it and to working with other countries, including PNG, to scale up domestic, regional, and global action.
Finally, we have seen world leaders converge in Dubai for the COP28 climate conference this month. Ruben, how has Australia approached these talks, and were there any announcements related to Australia's work in Papua New Guinea?
Australia had a strong presence at COP28 this year and worked hard to negotiate with countries to accelerate climate ambition and action to keep 1.5 degrees within reach. Our senior delegation was led by the Minister for Climate Change and Energy, Chris Bowen. Australia and PNG had several shared goals that we jointly prioritised at COP28. Most importantly, the establishment of a new loss and damage fund, which will help vulnerable countries address the impact of the climate crisis. Australia had been lobbying hard to ensure that the fund delivered meaningful outcomes for Pacific countries, including PNG. That's acknowledging that the existing climate funds have posed serious challenges for countries in our region to access. We were delighted to see the setup of the fund agreed in the first week of COP28. Australia supported the travel for a small group of PNG negotiators through our existing relationships with the Pacific Regional Environment Program and the Women's Environment and Development Organisation. This formed part of Australia's support for over 50 participants from across the Pacific, demonstrating Australia's strong commitment to amplifying Pacific voices on the world stage. Australia took several recent commitments to COP28, all of which directly affect our climate action in PNG. Australia will rejoin the Green Climate Fund, ensuring Australia has a direct seat at the table to lobby for more equitable distribution of climate funds to the Pacific, including PNG, and lobby for internal GCF reform to fix the difficult application process for smaller countries. We know that this has been a priority for the PNG government. Second, Australia will support the establishment of the Pacific Resilience Facility, a new grant mechanism which is Pacific-owned and Pacific-led. We want to work closely with the PNG government in the coming months to make sure PNG is in the best possible position to access these funds once the organisation is set up by the Pacific Islands Forum. And on the 8th of December, Minister Bowen announced that Australia will be contributing $100 million to the startup of the Pacific Resilience Facility. And finally, Australia has joined with other development partners to support a new country package for forests, nature, and climate in PNG. We will align our programs with this new initiative, which features funding contributions from the EU and France to support climate action and the preservation of PNG's critical rainforest assets. Australia's Ambassador for Climate Change attended the political declaration launch at COP28 and confirmed Australia will be in a position to contribute our unique value add to the country package, particularly in the areas of forest industry technical expertise and access to international climate finance. We look forward to working with the PNG government and development partners to maximise the success of the country package. As we can see, COP28 was another strong example of the deep and meaningful connection between PNG and Australia on climate action. We are near neighbours, but we are also global partners. Both PNG and Australia will be impacted by climate change, whether it be through fires, flood, or drought, and both of us have a journey to transition away from fossil fuels. However, we share a strong bond to demonstrate climate leadership in our region. Australia will always stand ready to support PNG's climate resilience at the national, provincial, and community level.
And that interview with Ruben Sitten and Eri Aurere from the Australian High Commission's Climate Change Team, concluding this month's episode of AHC On Air. If you would like to hear past AHC On Air episodes, then visit the Australian High Commission Facebook page for links to our podcast. And thank you again for joining me on this month's edition of AHC On Air. Until next time, I'm your host, Gregor Vira, wishing you all a Merry Christmas and safe New Year. Bye for now.
Australia is here, we'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the government of PNG in health.
Sport is such a powerful tool at so many levels, but definitely at the community level.
Align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector.
Dispala Partnership, EMI, StrongM, Sindown, Namel, Australia, and our PNG.
Colors of life and motion. NBC. Real. PNG.